1-1. Pitch is swung on, crack, deep center field. Rafaela chasing right center gap. He leaps. It is off the wall. It skips away. Anthony's got to get it as the run scores. Anthony fires the third. One hop. It is not in time, and they've realized it's a home run. Moore slides into third. Now he gets up as the fireworks display takes its time. He steps on the plate, and for the moment, they will wait and look at it. It's a walk-off two-run home run for Christian Moore.
Christian Moore. The immortal Christian Moore.
Make me stay up to watch this nobody.
Yikes.
Hit a game-tying home run and a walk-off shot in Anaheim. Oh, he's a really high pick a couple years ago. Don't care. Nobody.
Yeah,
don't lean in there, Nick. I can see you. I can see you want to tell me about Christian Moore.
I don't know anything about him, so no.
He's hitting a .190 even with the two hits last night.
That's not bad. He'd be, what, the third?
No, I mean, he'd be out there with Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony are like, whoa.
Hey.
Well, Meyer after last night, though.
Dude, Marcelo Meyer?
That's true. Marcelo Meyer.
Nice night, sir.
Put the Red Sox in front and extras.
Our guy, Marcelo Meyer. All it was Marcelo Meyer.
Triple last night. Yeah, no, that's true. It was, well, he was offensively.
He was a double and a dong short of the cycle.
It's true. Give him a week. A Red Sox player, you know what? A Red Sox cycle doesn't happen in one game. It happens over the course of a week.
He'll get there.
If a player does all of that in a week, good week.
We should start doing like a week or a series even. Did he hit for the cycle in the series? Like what?
Definitely
you
not.
You could go to the month and I think you still wouldn't get there.
Yeah. He'll get a double and a dong in short order. I believe in Marcelo Meyer.
My greatest fears with the Red Sox have been realized, Keith.
This is bad.
Back and say we've won more games than we otherwise would have because of the way that this roster is now able to come together.
Brez, I stand
That's
with
Asian
my guy.
Great, isn't it?
I stand with my guy Brez.
You do?
Yeah, but I you better get it figured out quick there, guy.
This is a rough looking performance. So
they don't know what the they're doing. Do you understand that?
I mean, not,
you'd have to agree with the president on this.
Not wrong. I mean, if you want to evaluate in real time. Now, by the way,
you can't lose Garrett Crochet games, and you can't lose Garrett Crochet games where he goes 7 scoreless.
No, and you can't lose pretty much every single game since you trade away Rafi Devers, who, by the way,
you also can't keep losing to the Angels.
No,
they're 1-4 against the Angels.
Yeah, right. They dropped 4 out of 5 against the Angels.
That's
so far.
That's brutal.
It's not good for a bad team.
Team stinks.
Now, by the way, Giants lost again yesterday. Devers 1-for-4, I think. Is hitting barely over 200. So it's not like he's crushing it either.
No, I don't think he's necessarily going to come back and bite you. It's more this.
You can't keep losing these games. We called the last Crochet start massive.
Yeah.
Because they won the series in Seattle, and it's like, dude, you just traded Devers. I'm on board with it. I think a lot of the guys in the clubhouse are on board with it. Hell, even the manager begrudgingly is on board with it. But you need to take off running. You can't lose a bunch of games and pile it up and create self-doubt. They avoided it for one series. Then they win the first game against the Giants. I'm like, boom, here we go.
Yep.
2 losses against the Giants. The last one was brutal. These first 2 games against the Angels have been brutal. Gut punch, kick in the nuts, late night, after midnight, losses the last couple of games. They are bad. They're the kind of losses that send the team reeling and circling the toilet, and they better dig their way out quick, because if they don't, the whole team's going to quit, and I'll allow for maybe they already have, Keith. I thought they had more backbone than that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I might be wrong about it, because they're ready to just punt on the year, it feels like. They're that close to teetering.
I believe the updated number is now 9-19 in one-run games. 9-19. Is that right? Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, and, well, honestly, the 9 sounds high, but yeah.
Yeah, no, they somehow scraped away 9 wins, and you know, watching that game, you're like, I don't know if one run's going to be enough here. And because the pitches were starting to pile up, so it wasn't going to be an 8-inning game for Crochet.
No,
it was going to. I thought they made the right call.
I did too. If anybody wanted Crochet out for another inning, he was starting to labor and the pitch count was starting to get up.
But he did his job. He absolutely did his job. It was a very important game for him. They were right at 500, and he went out there and went 7 punch outs. That's right. He went 7. And he left the game with the lead, albeit a very slim lead. And then first inning, he's not in the game. Boom. Game's tied. You're like,
second batter, right? I mean, what? Weiser gave up a home run to, I already forgot the guy's name. Moore. Or he gave up a home run. Second batter. Weiser, by the way, we went through all the Breslow moves.
Yeah. You like Weiser?
Weiser and Wilson, who the two relievers who blew the game last night. We both had them on the good moves for Breslow list, which I think they are, by the way.
Yeah.
Weissert is going the way of Brennan Bernardino. I can feel it.
Well, Weissert's got to pitch. He pitches half the games.
I know, but they use him too much, and they're using him too much in too many high leverage spots, and it's like they're good hitters are going to start to get to him, and it's like,
or he's just regular hitters.
He's, well, yeah, or the Christian Moores of the world. he's starting to go the way of Bernardino. I can feel they're leaning on him too much.
More like, they're just, they're working through the bullpen. And even in a game where you only needed two innings, well, I guess three innings from the bullpen because you ended up having to go to extras. But, yeah, that was demoralizing. Also, real quick, the one run that they scored in, I guess, regulation, as it were, pretty sick slide by Marcelo Meyer. He could have been thrown out. I think the throw beat him.
It was a near non-run for the.
They almost didn't score.
They almost got shut out. That's true.
That was a pretty nifty little slide.
Good tag, good slide.
Good baseball. That was a good. Tom Emanski would have loved that whole play.
Good baseball. You take the extra bag going second to third.
Smart.
You time it up.
Yep.
You tag up. You get there. Great slide.
Get them on. Get them over. Get them in.
Who says the Red Sox don't know how to play baseball?
Good fundamentals right there on that one play.
Yeah, that's true.
No error. One error. Free game.
If you only showed that play, you'd be like, "Well, that's a well drilled, well coached, good, talented baseball
team. These guys know how to play.
That play.
Yeah. Well, they are a game under 500 now.
So we're at the dead middle point of the year, 40-41. They're going to lose this series to the Angels. Maybe they win today, but probably not.
I don't love their chances. Yeah.
So they are officially a game under 500 at the midway point, Keith, and they are reeling.
They are. They absolutely are. And Garrett Crochet has been as good as advertised and hoped and expected. He leads the majors in strikeouts. He leads the majors in innings pitched. So everything you could have wanted out of Garrett Crochet, you got. Something that the team didn't have a year ago. All due respect, Hauk had a good year. Hauk was an all-star at this point. But Garrett Crochet, he's the absolute hoss of the season.
He's a hoss of all hosses.
And what has it done? Nothing. For the team?
No,
nothing.
They have a worse record than they did at the midpoint last year.
And even Chapman, they have a better ace pitcher and they have a better closer. And you're worse. You're worse. And it's everything else around it. The lineup right now, once again, is struggling to score runs. And it was against the lefty, so you had all your lefty killers in the lineup yesterday. They weren't able to get anything done.
I got my Rhett Snyder and Romy bets in last night. They didn't hit.
Just a knock?
The whole team didn't hit.
Just a base?
You know what I like to bet for those two against lefties? Little life jack for you out there.
Jackson here with another life jack.
I like the hits run RBI total for those two. You take two plus
runs RBI.
Yeah, so you get on base and you score, boom, two.
So they, check those guys
right there. No, I mean, I don't think
they were
did
combined
anything.
Over Rhett, six.
Rhett Snyder worked a nice leadoff walk. I'm like, Romy, knock him in.
Yeah.
Knock him in. Let's check some boxes. Nope, didn't happen.
Roman Anthony is smooth 0 for 5.
He's smooth, though.
Looking good. Like the most unlucky hitter in baseball right
he
now.
Did, he did sting
balls. He stings some of them. I mean, he drilled that one at Neto last night where he got hurt, which he did rip.
Yeah, yeah.
He also had his
hit
worst.
On the screws, though.
He did. His worst at bat, for all the credit he gets, and my God, does Brooksy give him a lot of credit on these TV broadcasts.
Sure
he's
does.
Going on, and boy, he takes a good at bat. Sitting 100 or whatever he's hitting, but boy, does he take a good at bat.
Yeah, that's a competitive 100. Like, you're really watching these games.
His worst at bat, hands down, non-competitive, awful at bat, was two nights ago with the bases loaded just as the Drew Holiday trade was breaking.
That was bad.
That was a brutal at bat.
Sacks were packed.
So, you can tell me all you want about how good his at bats are. He's still not hit. I believe in him as a prospect, but, let's be on the level. He's not hitting. And when he was in the biggest spot the other day, he could have won him a game. He had his worst at bat that he's had in a Red Sox uniform.
Now they need
all due respect to the entire Anthony family.
We love them all.
The whole squad.
Big fans.
But brutal, brutal at bat.
They need Bregman back in the worst way. They desperately need Bregman.
I was going to lose game 7-6.
Well, look, Keith.
Yeah, that's right.
Bregman wasn't there last night, but you know who was?
Who's there?
Bregman's agent.
Yeah, I saw him. He had great seats. How'd he get those?
He was in the house.
He was basically on the field.
Tim Healy of the Globe talked to him. I think we actually have Will discussing this on our broadcast
night. Little Scotty Boris.
So we'll have Will pass along the info from Tim Healy, or I guess Scott Boris via Tim Healy.
Boston Globe's great Tim Healy was down there talking to Boris through the netting. And now we know why. And I'm very happy he asked this question of Scott. Apparently Alex Bregman wide open to contract renegotiations with the Red Sox. I think it was always going to be the case, but particularly once they moved on from Raffy, it's not that hard to see that it's Meyer and Anthony and Campbell, but in the medium term, this is going to be Alex Bregman's team.
All right. Well, so Jeff Passanheim traded, so hopefully he's not getting dealt away.
Well, I have more on that. McAdam.
I'd rather them re-sign him.
McAdam had some insight on that. But, like, no, I'd rather they just go forward with the contract that they have.
I don't know why you need to rip up the current deal that you have.
Bregman and Boris, go ahead and opt out. See if you're going to get $40 million somewhere else. I love Bregman. Yeah. You know me. I wanted him more than I think anybody. I wanted him this offseason. I want him here. I wanted Devers out. But, like, you want to renegotiate now?
Didn't the same thing happen with his old teammate, Carlos Correa, when he went to the Twins? He was looking for, like, a 10-year deal.
Yeah.
He got, like, a 1-1-1 at, like, crazy money. And then the next year, he's like, yeah, I'll be back.
Yeah,
I'll be back.
Well, that was the thing, because he was failing physicals from other teams.
Well, that was a whole mess even after the fiasco. That's true. That also happened to him.
Boris and Bregman, go ahead and opt out.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't buy it for a second. Go ahead. Of course you'll renegotiate right now. You want the term that you couldn't get last offseason because Bregman's probably not thrilled with the contract he had to tuck tail and sign here.
Do you think John Henry's going to give out another one of these contracts?
No, I like the contract they have with Bregman right now.
Just leave it.
And by
the way,
they
got to figure out the rest of their team.
I like Bregman. And again, I wanted him on this team. I think it was a great signing. But am I lining up to pony up more than $40 million for a guy who just missed 2 months?
Like, how many years does he want?
Right. Seriously.
Yeah, why don't you get healthy first?
If you're Bregman, would you leave money on the table just to get away from this team?
No. I wouldn't.
$1 million.
Yeah, but if it's like, let's say it's 30 in a state where you're not
taxed
as much and all
that stuff.
You're
going to take $10 million. Okay, well, tell me what the take home is, but let's play. You're going to leave $40 million on the table to take 30 from a winner? Bregman won't do it.
See, I don't think.
I wouldn't if I were him.
I think he likes Cora, and I think he likes the young guys on the team, and he likes that role. I think he would stay here.
He's also won.
No, I know.
So, like, the need to, like, run around, and you don't need to go run around and chase rings. He's already won. And if I'm Bregman, I look at it as, like, I can be a winner here.
Yeah.
Now, maybe there's a sobering reality of how the first few months have gone here in Boston, and maybe he'll talk it out, but he's not getting more money elsewhere.
So you believe this from the text line?
That's just Boris playing the game that he plays as an agent, which I don't blame him for playing, but he's like, oh, yeah, we're open. We're open to do a 10-year deal right now. It's like, of course the agent wants to talk about a 10-year deal right now.
Of course. The text line saying the only reason Boris said that is so that when Bregman does opt out, they can say, well, we tried. They just don't want
to
pay us.
I don't think Boris cares about stuff like that, to be honest.
He just wants the most money.
I don't think Boris cares about that PR game at all.
Yeah.
I think he just wants to get his client the most money. Can I hear Sean McAdam? This is McAdam, unless you had anything else on that, Keith.
No.
Sean McAdam on the Fenway Rundown podcast with Chris Cotillo.
A lot of podcasts out there.
They were reacting to the Jeff Passan item that you just had, Keith, which is Bregman was number one on the 50 candidates to move at the deadline.
Yeah.
Duran was number two. McAdam, as you'll hear, brushes aside the idea that Bregman could get dealt pretty quick, but he does expand on Duran.
I see next to no chance of Bregman being dealt. I see there being a decent chance that Duran goes, and here's why. And by the way, trading Duran would not be a white flag, oh, we're in sell and auction mode. I think they would be looking for some immediate help. We know that there is already a crowded outfield situation. Sidan Rafaela has, I think, earned his time and retains his spot in center field. Abreu is someone they don't want to give up, a Gold Glove winner who is still getting better offensively, and Roman Anthony. You can't have those four outfielders on the team and keep them all happy with playing time and or develop Anthony at the big league level.
Right.
So the notion of Duran being traded would not surprise me in the least. I don't think it would represent any sort of we're out, we're auctioning, there's a fire sale. I think it would be done sort of in advance of a trade that they would otherwise make in the offseason with an eye toward trying to get better over the final 2 months.
All right. So with Jaren Duran, it wouldn't be a salary dump by any means because he's not making a lot of money.
Makes $4 million or whatever.
But if you end up trading him for prospects, that is a white flag.
Correct.
That's 100% that. That one is all about the return. Now, if you trade him to, we made this up yesterday, but if you trade him to Seattle for a top end starting pitcher, that is we think we have four good outfielders. We're trading one of them to help our pitching staff. We're still in it.
Yeah, we're balancing. Fine. We're balancing our roster because it's imbalanced. Too many outfielders, not enough pitching.
And
so
they might also project, you know, they have a lot of young outfielders, and maybe they think last year for Jaren Duran was the best you're ever going to get out of Jaren Duran, and maybe they feel like, all right, it's in our best interest to. Unfortunately, you're not selling high on that. But I think teams, it's not that far removed that teams can at least talk themselves into it. So maybe you get a good return. But there's no way to, if you trade him, you're like, wow, we just needed to, you know, break up the log jam in the outfield. It's like, well, then you're just punting on the season if you get nothing back or nothing that's going to help this team this year.
And look, I like
they
Roman.
They don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
I'm coming to understand that.
Starting to feel like that.
when it comes to Roman Anthony, like, I'd be careful of trading Durant. I don't like that they're it sounds like, according to McAdam, they like Abreu more than Durant. I don't like that.
Do you think Roman
unless I'm missing something behind the scenes, like, I'm annoyed Durant's running into out after out after out and oversliding the bag a couple nights in a row, although he was right on the bag last night, to his credit,
yeah,
when he took the extra base. But unless I'm missing something behind the scenes that I don't get, and maybe I am.
It's like, possible.
It wasn't always there with Devers
in
until
fact,
it was
likely.
Right in your face. Yeah, okay, fine. So if I'm missing something, then tell me what it is. But on the surface, just watching them as players, I don't like that the Red Sox seem to feel better about Abreu than they do about Durant. I don't like that.
Yeah.
And I would caution them on, well, we have too many outfielders. Did you just learn nothing from the Christian Campbell experience?
Yeah.
I like Campbell. I do.
Yeah.
Campbell came out of the gates hot as a pistol.
Oh, rookie of the month.
And is back in Worcester before the midway point of the year.
Learning another position.
Roman Anthony is not hitting at all, other than rockets at infielders, I guess, if you want to get into that.
Sky smoked that
a lot of good at-bats. I could only hear so much about the good at-bats
just
before
a good scouting
production.
Report on him.
And so,
should have had a walk in the first inning.
Are you going to?
Yeah, good point.
Near walk. Wow, near walk. Good for him.
Good eye on him.
So if they're going to trade Durant to make room for Anthony to be an everyday player, what if in a month Anthony's hitting 100 and they got to send him back down?
He is hitting 100, and it's been a month. So is he going to be the starting outfielder the rest of the season, you think?
Yes.
Anthony?
I mean, I think that, but I would allow for a worst-case scenario where he goes the way of Christian Campbell, and he needs to go back down to AAA for more seasoning. It happened to Mike Trout. It could happen to this guy.
At least with Campbell, he started hot, then went cold. Anthony's just cold.
This guy's never been hot.
No.
Never.
Well, Worcester.
Well, no, I'm sorry.
He's socking the ball over Polar Park
in the bigs.
Hit a 500-foot home run before he got called up.
So I'm with you, Keith. It depends on the return for Durant to say whether or not it's waving the white flag. If it's a bunch of prospects, they're absolutely waving the white flag.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
And if it's a high-caliber starting pitcher, and now you're making room in the outfield, and oh, by the way, Yoshida's on the way back someday, somehow, okay, fine, well, come talk to me. But in a vacuum, I don't like the idea of trading Jaron Duran, and I really don't like the idea of prioritizing Abreu over Duran, unless again, there's something behind the scenes. No, I agree.
The season he's having is making it all right. No, but like making the idea of trading him not like outrageous.
Yeah.
Because if he was anywhere as good as he was last year, it'd be like a no way in hell would you deal him.
He's not playing
it's
well.
It's been such a drop off.
He's not playing well, which is indisputable. You can't even debate it. But I think he's closer to, if not what we saw last year, closer to what we saw in 2023 before he got hurt.
Yeah.
If you want to like kind of split the difference. I think he's closer to that player than what we've seen.
Yeah,
and
that's
my belief. I don't know, but we can't debate what he's done. He's been awful. He's been bad. He's regressed in the field. Mm-hmm. He's running into outs every night. He's not hitting for any power. He's been an average player, not the MVP candidate, all-star game MVP he was a year ago. And maybe he isn't that, but I'd wager on him being better than he's shown. And if I'm missing something behind the scenes, he's a bad teammate. He's refusing to move around the field. He's MFing coaches like the last Tubelard they just traded.
Yeah.
Well, then, okay. I mean, let me know what that is, and I can be talked into trading Durant. But I don't want to do that right now.
It's time for
Would You Rather Wednesday.
Would you rather Juan Soto or Would you rather have a pet monkey or a mini pig? Would you rather be a werewolf or a vampire?
On Jones and Keith.
Would You Rather Wednesday, Jones and Keith. It's brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. You can visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential, remodeling, or commercial building materials and supplies at Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. We have Pure Hoops with Terp. At high noon, stay tuned for it. We'll get back to the Celtics. What do we have for Would You Rathers today, Billy?
All right, first one up, would you rather have Cooper Flagg or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander?
Okay.
Right. I would go with, and I have not been super high on SGA. I didn't think he was the MVP last year.
Yeah.
I thought he had a terrible Game 7, despite being Finals MVP. I think he's a little overrated. I'll say all that to say this. I'll take him bird in the hand over the unknown of Cooper Flagg, who I think is a very, very good prospect. I don't know that he's quite LeBron, Wemby level of like generational prospect. I'd want him. I'd trade Jalen for him. I wouldn't trade the MVP of the league for him.
Yeah, no, I think it's funny because you and I both would have given the MVP to Jokic. You and I would both rather have Tatum than SGA. So like we've been maybe more down than most because everybody's celebrating the year that he had, which is insane. You can't really do much better than league MVP, finals MVP, and a title. Like that's as good as you can do.
NBA scoring champion.
Yeah, and he's still young enough where I would say he should be the obvious answer here. Cooper Flagg, based on his age, what his first rookie contract level would be, is one of the most like coveted players, I would think, for the next several years in the league. But I think a pretty good line would be, if you're a top 10 or top 15 player already established in the league, and especially if you're under 30, give me that guy. Because he really, there's no guarantee of what Cooper Flagg's going to be. There's already a guarantee of what Gilgeous Alexander is, or Tatum is, or Jokic, or a few of these other guys.
You would trade Jalen for the number one pick and Cooper Flagg.
I would. So Jalen might be like the best player that I would still make that move for, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so if anybody's better than Jalen, so like Donovan Mitchell, I'd probably keep Donovan Mitchell. Like Anthony Edwards, I'd keep Anthony Edwards. But Jalen Brown might be the best player that I would do the deal
for. So you just said Jalen would be the best, so you're answering my next question. You wouldn't do Tatum for the number one pick.
Nope.
But the injury makes you think about it. I wouldn't do it either.
Yeah, yeah, right. It's a little bit different because of that.
A healthy Tatum, you don't even think about it. But an injured Tatum, you're like, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You could.
What about Wembanyama?
For Tatum?
No. For Cooper Flagg, sorry.
I think I would keep Wemby.
Yeah, again, me too. I think Wemby's a little bit more valuable.
The injury makes you think about it, but no, I would keep Wemby in that.
But then you have like the old guys where that's sort of a different conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, LeBron or Curry or somebody, you'd be like, well, I'll take Cooper Flagg as 18 years old.
I think that's fair. Just another, not to throw too many would you rathers at you. Tatum or SGA?
You mean Flagg or Tatum?
No, I mean
Tatum.
Oh,
no, Tatum. We both said Tatum.
Okay.
Yeah, during the season, Tatum.
I would take Tatum over SGA. Again, the injury makes it close, but I would take Tatum over him. What else, Billy?
Would you rather keep Anfernee Simons or trade him for a big?
I'm keeping Simons. And it feels like there's definitely a lot of discussion that he might be gone, so maybe I shouldn't get attached.
We're going to talk to Terp at high noon. I think Terp seems to think he could be gone. And Terp said, guys, the moves aren't happening on draft night. They're happening before draft night. He tried to warn
us. So they do need a big or two, obviously. But with the loss of Tatum for the season, and even to a lesser degree, Porzingis and Holiday, you need somebody to put the ball in the hoop. And you got Brown and White. You need somebody else to score. Pritchard can, but you're already retaining him from last year. So even if his shots go up a little bit, there's still a pile of shots to be had. I'm good with Anfernee Simons. I hope they keep him and find another way to get a big.
Yeah, I mean, it comes with the caveat of, like, tell me who the big is, and then let's see. But in general, am I itching to trade Anfernee Simons?
No,
I would rather they keep Simons. I like that they just got him for Drew Holiday, so I'm not itching to turn around and trade him. Now, again, if it's an overwhelming return and the big is a really good player, well, let me know who that is, and we'll talk it out. But I think Anfernee Simons, and I do have little issues with or gripes about who he is as a player. He's small. He's not a good defender. He is going to already jack up a million threes before he's a Boston Celtic. What's going to happen once he gets here? He's not signed beyond this year. So I do have some questions about Simons. I'm not telling you he's a slam dunk all-star player, but I didn't want to acquire him to turn around and trade him.
Yeah.
And if they do trade him, Keith, I'd rather they do it in season, where you at least see how it looks and see what he could be, and maybe even boost the trade value on Anfernee Simons. I'm not against trading him by the deadline. I am against trading him right now in the offseason when you just got him and you don't even know what he is.
Yeah, I'd be disappointed.
Okay, what else, Billy?
Would you rather have a pet bird that swears or a pet monkey that smokes?
So that's cool. Right, the smoking monkey?
I mean, I guess
I don't want the smoke around my kids. Sorry to be that guy in my ivory tower.
I don't have the clean ashtrays.
The secondhand smoke. What if he vapes?
So they're both.
What about a vaping monkey?
A vaping monkey.
That's really just modern. That's really
a hookah monkey.
Yeah, that's really.
As long as he stays in the hookah room, then I guess that's fine.
I mean, the vaping's really more about his health and, like, who knows what he's ingesting. But in terms of secondhand smoke, you don't have to worry about
that. Not to be too much of a curmudgeon, but I have two young kids at home. So.
Brag.
Yeah. That's right. Two.
Sick brag, bro.
Better than what you have. And so.
Twice as good as you.
Twice as much.
Yeah.
No, but like neither. It's a bad influence on both. Like, do I need my kids swearing all the time more than they already do because they hear the bird? Or do I need them to be like, that monkey looks pretty cool smoking those cigs.
Yeah.
What, can I have one of those? I'm like, nah, you can't have that either. I think I would rather have a monkey than a bird.
Sure.
But I think I'd rather have the swearing monkey than the smoking.
Although if that monkey doesn't get its cigarette for the day, watch out.
No, I know.
You're going to send your kids up to get them butts.
Tear your face off.
And it's way more expensive.
Georgie, go get me some butts.
The monkey goes out to get some cigs and never comes back. It's like, oh, man.
It'd be a great.
You said you were coming back.
I got to go get milk.
You said you were coming back, monkey. You were going for some cigarettes and some scratch tickets. You never came home.
It'd be cool. It'd be cool to have a monkey.
Okay, well,
we did a Kiefer Madness yesterday about a bird that swears and uses slurs.
And from where again? Fall River?
Fall River. Yeah, yeah. And I was at a place in Fall River. And yeah. So people wanted this bird. Okay. So that, hence the question.
You're thinking about it as a father.
Yeah.
Now think about it as like me this week. No family around.
Wow.
They're down the cave.
Sick brag, bro.
Honestly.
Why didn't you go?
Maybe the biggest brag flex I've ever made.
That is
frankly.
Amazing.
So there, I'm
how much
by
pizza
myself.
Have you had?
Oh, so much.
Yeah.
But it's not like any of my buddies are coming over, but if they did.
Sure.
And we were going to, you know, drink some beers. And now you have
the
a
monkey.
Smoking monkey?
Yeah, it's pretty kick-ass.
Pretty cool.
This feels like an I think you should leave sketch.
See, here's the thing, too. The bird will live for 80 years.
Oh, at way longer
you
than
have,
you.
At
you're
some
right.
point, you have to get rid of that monkey before it takes over.
Yeah,
well,
that's
but
true.
You're not.
How long does a monkey live, though? A monkey lives a long time.
You're not
no, not
about,
that they don't live a long time. I'm just saying the fact that like you can only control it for so long
how about
before
this,
it's
though?
Like throwing you around the house.
How about this? Think of the overhead.
No. I'm not. You're thinking, no, like a monkey's not that big.
You're talking like MJ had Bubbles.
He's talking like kind of he's talking like the
that's you're talking
gorilla.
Like Marcel.
The little,
are you talking
yes,
like Ross's
the little
monkey?
The little Ace Ventura
yes.
monkey. Say yes, 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 yes. Yeah, we're all talking like.
I thought you were talking
an orangutan.
There must be like 27.
Yeah.
The average age
the monkey does? No,
so
I'm talking
job.
About like a little monkey that like...
needs his own insurance.
He just sits there and like eats like...
Yeah. Can you claim it on your insurance?
Yeah.
Yeah, claim it as a dependent.
Yeah, but think about the overhead.
I add someone to my insurance.
CC, you got Georgie, you got biscuits.
Think about the overhead on the bird, though, if it lives 80 years.
Yeah.
Although think about the overhead on cigarettes.
Cigarettes way more expensive.
Yeah, no,
way
that's a good
more
point.
Expensive the upkeep for the smoking.
You got
right.
me
or
there.
If you got like an older bird already, then it's just like old timey
you got me there.
Swearing.
Oh,
bird.
Yeah. You're like, oh my God.
So
like, we retired those.
Where did you even know that they existed?
Yeah. So where we settled?
I think
bird?
Ultimately I would take the bird.
Yeah, bird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not as cool, but
no.
But still, probably.
Right, you can't put the bird in overalls.
No, that's true.
No.
Does it do close-up magic?
Especially, put him in like a leather jacket. A leather jacket smoking, ripping,
oh, like
ripping
the
butts.
Oh, the one in the denim vest and the hangover.
That is cool.
That is cool.
That's a cool monkey.
That did rip, he ripped butts too.
Yeah.
Remember how tired the monkey got in Ace Ventura when they were trying to figure out who Ray Finkel was? And then he looks over and he's just like sleeping on the chair. He's like, you quitter.
Yeah.
He was so tired. He was jumping around. He was trying to help him out with the case.
He's very excited in the Jim Carrey, Courtney Cox scene, too.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, not that Courtney Cox.
Yeah.
Really, all the animals were excited.
Very excited.
Yeah, yeah, they were.
What are you feeding this dog? It's miserable.
Look at him. Just okay. Look at him.
All right, bird's the answer.
Yep.
What else we got?
Would you rather get pinched by a crab or stung by a jellyfish?
I was pinched. I don't think I've ever been stung by a jellyfish.
So I have.
I was pinched by a crab a couple summers ago.
How did that go?
Sick brag, bro.
Really hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't like it. We were Lucas and I were at the beach, and I had one. I was holding him. I'm like, hey,
oh,
he's not
you were showing off.
I was like holding him by you know, the little back, and
you deserved it.
Yeah, he had a bigger wingspan than I expected. Yeah. Turn
Kim
around, clip. Yeah, and then I was like, get off. And he was kind of like hanging on.
On
yeah.
So not the Will Campbell of crabs.
No.
You didn't lose your finger.
No, it's good. No, it's good.
But a pinch.
No scars. Good pinch. You got a jellyfish sting?
Yeah, down in Florida one time. I got like the worst sunburn of my life. And then also that same day, bit by a, or stung by a jellyfish.
The same sunburn story you were telling the other day?
Yeah.
When you were down there for baseball?
Yes. Yes.
You know, Keith told us this off the air. In high school, you guys used to go to spring training in Florida?
Every other year.
High school.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, huh. I went to a prestigious prep
that's
school,
true,
which
prep
is the
school.
Best
that's
high school
true.
In the country.
And
so, yeah.
You got
sick brag, bro.
Obviously.
And so you
only took me 4 years to get through it, too. No problem.
You got a sunburn and stung by a jellyfish?
Yeah. It was like one of those days where it was like all just...
But you're expecting me to believe that summer's the best
was
season.
Was the sting...
Coach just... Yeah, coach
was
just dropped...
Was the sting on your sunburn?
No, it was like near my nipple. It was awful.
Go on.
It was so painful, Bill. And then the guys on the team were like, oh, I think I'm supposed to pee on it. That'll help. And I'm like, get away from me. Get away from me. And then we walk into a shop. So we were just like out on the beach. I probably put sunscreen on once. And then I was in the water all day. Got the worst sunburn ever. And then we're like walking in one of those like shops along the way. You know, like
sure.
T-shirt shop
yeah.
or whatever. And there was a mirror. And I like caught a look at myself. It was bright red. I looked like a tomato.
Oh,
and I was like,
no!
This is not good. I'm like, I was so worried about the man of war bite that I had on my nipple. And I was like, no, much worse. The face sunburn.
I've not been stung by a jellyfish, but I hear it's not great.
It was terrible. So my wife actually came up with this question. She has both have happened to her.
Oh.
She said the jellyfish one was bad, but she thinks the... She'd rather that than once again get pinched by a crab.
Again, you're talking jellyfish, not man of war, something that's going to like kill you.
No, I exaggerated because it hurts so bad.
And knock you out. But I'm saying like I was stung by just like a little teeny tiny crab. I'd imagine a big guy.
Yeah. Oh,
like, one of those probably really hurts.
Hard pinch.
Yeah.
They'll really get you.
I think I'm, I think I'm taking the jellyfish.
Yeah, I think I'd go jellyfish.
No disrespect to you over there.
No, it was painful, but I moved on.
Your trials and tribulations.
I moved on.
T's and P's.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I think I didn't like getting pinched just by the little crab.
No,
never
mind.
Fun. Never mind the big fella.
But that was kind of on you for messing around with it.
No, it was
on
me. I was trying to show off and be a cool dad.
Yeah. Fire the crab back into the ocean.
Unfortunately, my son thought much less of me.
What's wrong with dad?
Trying,
like, I don't know.
Trying to show off, and now he's just can't even talk me up to his pals. So there you go. It's a Would You Rather Wednesday.
Good stuff. Good answers.
Every Wednesday.
Good answers.
Here on Jones and Keefe. It's up there, Steve.
Yeah.
It's up there.
We had the monkey in Hangover too. Somebody said. Smoked.
Billy said.
No, but it also sold cocaine.
Oh, and he sold cocaine.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
I don't want that in my house.
I didn't see Hangover 2.
Yeah, it was not great.
It was skippable.
It was.
It sounds like.
Same with 3.
Sounds like it was pretty good
3
stuff
was
in there,
far worse.
To be honest.
3 was definitely worse than 2.
They had some chuckles, but the bar was set way too high at 1.
Right. Yeah, 1 was great. Okay, we got Pure Hoops with Terp at high noon. We'll get all the latest on the Celtics, plus intel, because Terp has been trying to warn us about big moves. Is he continuing to warn us? What are you snickering at over there?
Dice wants to know if, in fact, any of my teammates urinated on me. No, they did not. They did not.
You did say
they thought it
to.
Might help the sting. But I was like, I'll deal with it. I'll deal with it this way. So, no, they did not. That did not happen.
You peed.
At least
yourself.
Not that
you
night.
Go in a cup
you peed
and
on yourself.
On yourself.
Yeah.
That's what I did.
He just
aimed upwards.
I laid on my back.
I hung up sound down like a bat.
Yeah. Look, guys, I'll handle it. I'll use my own. It's more sterile.
Guys, I got this. All right. Let's get to the pressure mounting on Alex Cora next.
Are you surprised with how seemingly quickly the clubhouse has been able to move on from Rafi Devers and that trade and that whole situation?
Well, we had a conversation in Seattle, and the less you talk about the subject, the better it is for the clubhouse, for the team. And, you know, like I said in San Fran, and I'll repeat myself, we love Rafi. He's a great guy. You know, he's a great player. You know, we're going to miss him. But there's the decision we made as an organization and the players, you know, they just got a job to do, and it's go out there and play baseball.
Best pumpkin song?
Ooh.
I say yes. I say yes. I celebrate almost their entire catalog. But I would have to say if I had to pick just the one, it'd be this one.
No, Mount Rushmore's and pumpkin songs.
If I well,
today.
Are we tearing them? Or what?
Tomorrow.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
1979. Zero.
We do have a top 5 Friday coming up.
Oh.
Top 5 Smashing Pumpkins songs.
You're like, what is this?
Top 5 yeah. Pumpkins tunes.
Yeah. Okay.
Save that for October.
Yeah. Good call.
Good one,
call.
Bill.
Yeah,
good
Bill
one.
Smart.
Yeah.
Although very presumptuous, but smart.
It is true. Let's say one day at a time.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, seriously. You think we're still here in October? My goodness.
A lot of good ones to choose from.
Good theory
from
on the
Bill Burr's brother.
Good theory.
That was wild.
It is wild.
Because now when you look at them, you cannot see
the
other
are.
One. Like, they literally, like, yep, they're brothers.
He named one Bill and the other Billy.
Yeah. one loves their father and the other hates him.
And he was a Bill, too.
They're all Bills. A lot of Bills out there.
A whole bunch of Bills.
George Foreman.
It is. A very similar. It's a Foreman thing. It's true.
I do like the text line pointing this out. I think this was Dice again, Keith.
Yeah. Well,
he surmised that the whole trip down to Florida, you were just faking jellyfish stings.
No.
Oh, no, boys. It happened again. Maybe that is what was going
somebody
on.
Put this out?
I got stuck somebody again, guys. Somebody
pounded his chest like Mark Wahlberg in Fear.
You're going to
just try to make it red.
You're going to have to suck the venom out.
Like, there's no venom. You're fine.
It's all right, guys.
You're all right.
All right.
It happened again. So that was Alex Cora yesterday to land the plane.
Yeah, there he is.
On WEEI Afternoons. I thought that was an interesting little comment about, oh, the Devers thing is in the past, and the less you talk about it, the more people move on. I'm like, I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, you just bury it deep inside.
Yeah, so you're just
push it down.
You're just
that's healthy.
You're just continuing your approach.
Insane,
no, I mean, look, I mean, that's how I handle things in my life, too. But just that's how he's handled the whole Devers thing.
Yeah.
Just not talking to Devers.
Nothing to talk about. Right.
Not
the
asking Devers
been
anything.
Fantastic. Guys.
Right. So his solution in the aftermath of the Devers trade is to just not talk about it and everybody will just move on. I don't think that's a good
smart
approach.
Although maybe it's how the team is going on. I mean, not that they're playing well, but wasn't the report too that Breslow was like, hey, if anybody wants to talk about this or does anybody want me to like explain what happened? And they're all like, nah.
we're
good.
That
probably
is
not going to help.
That is true. I mean, look.
He offered at least.
I can't imagine. And Devers or Cora did slip in there. He's like, oh, I mean, we can't replace him or whatever he said, right? Didn't he say that? He's like, oh, we can't replace him. It's like, I don't don't say that either. But
there's not a good Devers trade out there. You're like, you just made one.
So, yeah, I found that answer to be interesting yesterday with him on WEEI Afternoons. If you missed the full interview, it's on the Odyssey app. The other piece to the Devers trade that has emerged in the last week or so, we were all wondering why Kyle Harrison is in AAA.
Yeah.
Now, maybe he's working on his pitches and, you know, maybe they wanted him to go down and fine-tune some things.
Sure.
They're also playing the cost control game.
Oh, wow.
Of manipulating his service time. If he remains in AAA past the 4th of July, Keith, they will control his rights through 2030. As opposed to if they call him up before, they'll control his rights through 2029.
Great. So it's not like it's desperate times right now.
It's not like you could use a pitcher instead of, I don't know, Walker Buehler on the team.
Walker Buehler, we're going to see him again.
We're going to watch.
Instead of this guy, so you get one more year.
Trot Walker Buehler out there to get one more year from Kyle Harrison in 2030. If, by the way, he's even good,
he'll for sure be on the team in 2030. Like, that's what we need to be prioritizing.
I believe in him more than most.
Yeah.
But even I'm like, we don't even know if he's good. What are you worried about 2030 for? Get him up here.
I'd like to see him.
That's good.
But you would think, especially with after just trading Devers and then telling the fan base as well as the guys in the clubhouse, like, hey, we've replaced Rafael Devers with nothing. Like, for right now, nothing.
Right.
Eventually, Kyle Harrison, when we get more control, maybe Jordan Hicks.
Maybe.
Maybe. And then even then, great. Watch him, you know, pour gasoline on himself in the sixth, seventh inning of a game. That's not what anybody's excited for. But no, I mean, how many more Walker Buehler bad starts do you have to see? I mean, Richard Fitz is making the start today. I mean, Kyle Harrison can't get out there?
You already answered this.
I'm done with Buehler.
No, you answered it. None. You don't need any more. You want him off the team.
But I think Cora told those guys yesterday that he's going to make his next start. I was like, okay.
Great.
You sure? Does he have to?
I mean,
although he's lied to them before.
If anybody,
so take it with a grain of salt. He's lied directly to Hart and Fitz's face in the past.
That's a great point.
So you could do it again.
If, I mean, heck, he told the old afternoon program, which I was a part of, over and over and over again.
Sick brag, Thank you, bro.
No, that is something to brag about. He constantly would say, I don't want to talk about my contract in season, and then turn around and sign a big, fat, giant contract that the Red Sox shouldn't have given him.
Netflix wasn't there for that.
So it wouldn't be the first time.
Did it ever happen?
Wouldn't be the first time he's lied. That's a good point.
It's true.
But if anybody should keep making starts at 10 p.m., It is Walker Buehler.
Oh, my God.
At least in that way, you don't have to.
At least it'll be over by 10:15.
That's true, too.
Yeah, his night's over. There's still more game to be played.
So Cora's solution to moving past the Devers trade is just
don't even talk about it.
Jam it down.
Yeah. You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Don't acknowledge it. Don't talk about it. Don't discuss it. Don't mention it to anybody. Jam it deep down, and it won't come back to bite you, hopefully.
It's sort of like the Belichick approach, remember? It was like, we'll talk about the guys who are here.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to talk about the guys from the past.
Yeah, and you can't talk about any of the new guys because none of them are on the roster.
No.
You can't talk about that.
They're not here yet.
No. Get ready for it, though.
So what, 2 weeks? After July 4th, so we have 2 weeks. You got a bunch of games between now and then.
They'll still be in the mix, I'm sure, by then.
Buehler might make two starts by then, for God's sakes.
617-779-7937. We'll get to all your feedback here coming up. NBA draft is tonight. Celtics have been very busy. Who better to break it down than Justin Turpin of WEEI? We call it Pure Hoops with Turp. Next.